we want to follow the Lord, and I hope those guys in the back there are going to follow me, because I got a problem. I do have, I've got some lessons that I've studied on for a number of weeks here when we get started. You remember what we talked about the last few times we met? Anybody remember? Nobody remembers, so let me refresh your memory. We were talking about hearing from God. That was the series of lessons, is hearing from God. And I began to say that I felt in my spirit that God said, it's important to hear what the Spirit is saying. And many people are walking and they're living lives. Even after saved, they run into problems after problem after problem because they don't hear what God wants them to do. And so they're doing some things. They're living a life that's dissatisfied, unhappy, because they're not hearing God the way they want to. And they don't have any peace in their lives. They can't go to bed and wake up in the morning feeling, yes, I'm in the right place. And so they've made plans outside of God's plan, outside of God's will. And consequently, it's cost them money. It's cost them relationship issues. It's cost them peace. And they're not happy. You know, God wants us to be happy. Amen. And first of all, I want to let you know, God said to me to tell you that He loves you. Amen. That He loves you with an everlasting love. And He just loves you not to leave you the way He found you. And He's going to change you. And He's doing it. He's sent people to you. And the second thing I want to tell you is that you can never miss God's plan. I want to just profess it by saying this. You can never miss God's plan if you seek Him. Amen. If you ask God to show you, He will guide you. Amen. As let me just say, for lack of a better term, sometimes we're stupid. And we should buy everybody that book, Don't Be Stupid, by Craig Hagin. He's got a book called Don't Be Stupid. You're not supposed to stay stupid because it's a bad word. Now, we can miss God, and we don't want to miss God. How would you live your whole life missing the plan of God, and at the end, you did a lot of things, you made a lot of money, went to a lot of places, and you still miss God? We don't want to miss God. We want to stay in the plan. We want to stay in His purpose and will. And so I feel like I wanted to teach on that, and I asked God, so what do you want me to start the season? This is the new season. This is actually the first season of the calendar year of the church. Okay? So we run on a different calendar. Every year we start a new line of stuff. Every church starts again. So this is the first one after the long weekend. So this is the first Sunday of the year. Praise God. Amen. And so we're starting brand new. And so there's a lot of projects, a lot of things we want to do. And we want to be following what God wants us to do. We want to do what He says to do. So, we don't want to miss out on what He has in store for us. There's a plan for us individually, and there's a plan for us corporately. And so I've given you a number of scriptures. We've given you Romans chapter 5. And Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and verse 16, and 2 Corinthians 13, 14. If we get those two scriptures up there, let's look at those again. And Proverbs 20 and verse 27. We're going to say a couple of things, and we're going to move on to something, and I want to show you something that God wants us to know today. Praise God. Can we get that up there, guys? Faith City Church people back there. Glory to God. Did you get those? Okay. So we want to look at a scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And I want to get that up there. So notice it says there, I want us to say this three times together, if you don't mind. So every voice is needed in this choir. Okay. So one, two, three. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One more time. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, look at the scripture. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, sons of God, those that are born again, you know, we said to you in the first chapter of John, I think it's verse 14, as many as received them, to them gave he to become the sons of God. In other words, when you receive Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. Amen. Or a daughter of God, or a child of God, a better word to use. So it's saying that those people who've been born again, we are to be led in life by God's Spirit. So God wants to lead every one of his children by his Holy Spirit. I want to, if you don't mind back there, to get John chapter 16 and verse 13. I want you to see this. So every one of us should expect right now, this second, to be led by God's Spirit. Every child of God, if you're born again, every one of us are to believe to receive information by God's Holy Spirit to lead us in spirit, soul, and body, both spiritually and naturally speaking. Now, notice it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Jesus is talking about Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. And he was the only Godhead or God personality there on the earth, at that time. He wasn't come, so he came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came when people got filled, right? The Holy Spirit, God is everywhere, but you have to understand and believe what he says, okay? So his presence is here. You know the Holy Spirit that made man, Adam? He's here right now. Amen. Amen? And he can recreate anything that's wrong in your body. Amen. Praise God. My brother Alex is back here. Reverend Alex and Reverend Mr. Nabs back there. Praise God. This little man is from Longlac, from where I'm from. So let's welcome these two ministers of God. They're sent from the heavenlies. Amen. They're heavenly beings. So watch them. Okay, so howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Everybody say the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Now, you have to understand, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He'll tell you stuff. When you're doing right, he'll tell you. And he'll tell you everything, even the things you don't want to know, he's going to tell you. You say, that's not good. And you say, I'll rebuke that devil. No, God, the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you. Okay, the Spirit of truth will tell you everything. Oh, you're stingy. He said, no, that's not true. I just like to keep money. No. Whatever it is, he'll talk to you. He'll tell you stuff that you don't want to know. He'll just tell you you're lazy. A lot of times when we talk about this, we think it's all these important things like Bible prophecies. No, he's going to tell you stuff that matters to you right now. So the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. What will he do? Into what? Lies? All truth. So you have to understand there's a distinction between truth and lies. So God, the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Did you know the Holy Spirit speaks? Yeah. He'll speak, and we're going to show you how he speaks to you. And it's very distinguishable when he talks to you. And he said he'll speak. He won't speak of himself. I remember when I got born again, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit introduced me to Jesus. And I saw the empty tomb. And the Holy Spirit told me that Jesus is a risen Jesus. And when Jesus came into my car, when I was driving down and he told me that I had a calling, he sat right there and I couldn't see Jesus with my physical eyes, but on the inside of me, I knew I was talking to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You can't see God with these eyes, but you can see God on the inside of you. If you, and I'm telling you, there's some people that become so dumb. When we say dumb, I mean dull spiritually, that the spiritual things becomes indistinguishable because they this is another lesson, of course. There's some different things happening, right? So we could become dull in hearing God. Because things come in a way because of your selfishness. When we become selfish, we can't hear God. If you become too angry and so full of self-pity, you can't hear God. You won't be able to hear what God's saying to you because your emotions are so loud that it drowns out the Spirit of God. It's amazing how this happens. It's the Spirit of truth. He said, but whatsoever he shall hear, in other words, whatever Jesus says, he's going to say. Whatever Father God says, he's going to tell you. But, he said, he shall speak and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is going to prepare you for things. Nothing in your life should be a surprise to you if you're sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Even if you're physically sick, the Holy Spirit will show you, hey, there's something wrong in your body. I want you to start getting these scriptures out. I want you to start confessing this out. I want you to not give in to these symptoms. I want to let you know these symptoms are not going to stay there if you would do these things.
Amen.
Lift that hand up and say,
thank God.
He's going to show me. So I want to show you something, because this is how the Holy Spirit, he'll show you how to get out of debt. When I got out of debt, I was alcoholic, drug addict, and I incurred a lot of debt. And I came to Jesus. I remember going on my knees and putting my Bible right here. I said, God, that pastor at the church says if I tithe, you're going to help me financially. I don't know if that's true. I want to do that. Show me if that's real. So I'm going to go ahead and follow that. I only had one word, and that's Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, therewith says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven unto you and pour you out of such blessings that you cannot receive it. Okay? And so I said, Lord, I'm going to do that. I got all these debts. I got these credit cards. I got this small check coming in that I'm working first time in my life. Got a job. I said, God, show me what to do. And I said, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to obey you. I was literally thousands of dollars in debt because of my lifestyle. How many people know it costs money to stay drunk every day? Huh? It costs good money. And so I said, Lord, and so I took my tithe. That's only one scripture I had. Nothing else. One scripture. It was the Spirit of truth that told me. So I brought my tithe. I want to tell you, some of you have problems in your life because you never tithe. You got marriage problems because you don't tithe. You got children problems because you don't tithe. You got a mental, emotional problem because you don't tithe. Because you can't believe God. The very first thing God teaches you in walking and serving him is your money. He'll show you how to be led there first. There's the very first test you have to go through in life. So we should teach more on this, but we don't have time. But we're going to have to move on. So I took that. Within months, thousands of dollars came to me to pay off my debts. You say, how could that happen? How could that happen? Well, God is God. If you go ahead and go on a limb and follow God like that too, something good is going to happen to you. But some of you won't, because you feel like, yo, I can't do this. So how many of you want the truth? Okay, so you have to understand, I'm telling you what my life is. I wouldn't tell you to do something I didn't. You have to do it by faith. I tell you, if you don't believe us, don't tithe at all, because keep your money to yourself, because you'll get mad at me, you get mad at the church, and get mad at God. You have to believe God when you're doing these things. Amen. Because as we say here, our confession is that I give, I tithe because I believe God. I trust God. We talked about the song. Our song leader was telling us, oh, I trust in you. I trust in you. And you don't really trust in God. You trust in your money. You trust in somebody else, right? So that's how it goes. So within a very short time, I was out of debt. And I'm still giving God first place in that area. Now, there are other areas in my life I'm working on, and it's none of your business right now what I'm doing. Because it's very private, okay? So we're all working on stuff, okay? So we're all working on stuff. We're all trying to get better and stuff. And so this is how God will lead all of us. So he'll teach you into all truth. Now, I would like you to go to verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Kelly? Romans 8:16. So I just feel like I'm going to switch gears in a moment here and show you. So the Spirit itself, the King James is, this word here, misspelled this or something. Translators that did this. The Spirit itself, or should be himself. The Spirit is not an it. Right. How would you like to be called it? Here it is. Well, he doesn't like to be called it. He's a him. He's a person. Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Ghost has feelings. How many people know the Holy Spirit has feelings? He does. The Holy Spirit can see. He's got eyes. He has emotions. So this is in the Bible. Okay. Now, the Spirit himself, notice that he bears witness with our spirit. In other words, two things happen in this situation. Two things happen here when the Holy Ghost is leading you. Number one, you're going to know something. Amen. The second thing is the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with it.
Amen.
Two things happen here. One, you know something. Secondly, Holy Spirit says, yep, that's true. Holy Ghost. So this is talking about a co-witness. In the original language, it spells it out that it's a co-witness. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't do it by himself. He does it with you. When you're leading, he does it with you. When you're walking with God, he does it with you. So the Spirit itself bears witness with our... Notice this. How does he bear witness? Our spirit. And so where is our spirit? It's on the inside of us. It's not the outside. There is an outward man and there's an inward man. The inward man hears different things. The inward man takes in information that our mind, our senses can take in, and we can regulate that with our own minds. We have senses, spider senses, no, spirit senses. So we have senses. Every one of us, we have relatively, good senses. Some have better senses than other people. Some people have no sense at all. So we have eyes, we have feelings, physical senses. We can feel if something's hot or cold or whatever. We can hear and so forth, right? We get senses. So the outward man uses that to work in this life. Don't touch that. Your eyes can see. Don't touch that. The element is hot. And so, I'm going to touch that anyway. You're burnt, right? And that's no good. So on the inside, you have senses too. Your spirit man can know things. Your spirit man knows things that your mind doesn't know. A lot of times when the Bible talks about there's a fight between the flesh and the spirit, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. He's talking about your inward spirit and your outward man, or your inward man and your outward man are fighting. Come on now. Go to Galatians 5. And we'll come back to this verse of Scripture in a moment. Galatians chapter 5. We want to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Praise God. I'm glad we got a good classroom this morning. Some of you are teachers. I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher all my life since I was five. 5 years old. I was telling my brothers what to do. How to chop wood, how to get water. So when I was a kid, I fell in the water skating on the pond. We're playing hockey. And my friend and I, three or four of us, we went through the ice with our skates on. Went in. We come up out of the ice, and we're trying to get out of the, trying to get out of there. And I prayed all the Hail Marys and glory be, and thank God, you know. I said, my friend said, "Preach on, preach on, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary." And we got out, Hail Mary. So it works. I know it works. All right. You know I'm kidding. Don't go out and say Hail Marys. No. Okay. Did we find, what did we say we're going? Galatians 5. Did we find that, Kelly? Galatians 5. Let's go to verse, let's try verse 22. I just picked anyone up. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, this is how the Holy Spirit will lead you in this fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to show you something that all of these areas have to grow in us. And it has to do with working together in church. You cannot develop in this if you don't belong to a local church. And working along a local church. You can read this, you watch the seminars, go to the seminar for the weekend and go and forget it. But the real work is when you're working, shoveling and mopping up and working together, working on teams, doing a concert, doing music, okay? And you have to yield to one another. You say, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know who I am? You know? And so we get that huffiness, but the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute. We know you're the older person here, but you still have to yield. Just go ahead and yield for now. And just love on that person. And all of a sudden, you soothe it off with love. And pretty soon, you know, this is how you win people and how you love people. And, you know, a lot of times when people argue with me about scriptures, I don't even want to get into that. I just say, you know, go ahead. Yeah, I just let them and smile and let them win. Praise God. I know God is going to talk to them. And there's no use in fighting. Hey, there's no use in fighting because that's not God's way. So, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
So, walking in the Spirit of love, walking in the Spirit of joy, whatever it is, every walk in the Spirit means walking in the Spirit doesn't mean that, oh, I've seen visions. I see the hand of God. I see smoke. I see. No, this is not what it's talking about. This is not what this is talking about. Walking in the Spirit means that you're going to walk from the inside out.
Amen.
You're going to be led from the inside out. Walking in the Spirit. See, notice we go to verse 25. No, this is being led by the Spirit, right? Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 27. We'll go to 17. Okay, go to 17 first. Okay, so for the flesh, everybody say the flesh. So this is talking about your outward man. The flesh is your outward man. Your flesh has never been born again. One day we'll receive a brand new body,
hallelujah,
sanctified, all fully furnished by God Himself, right?
Amen.
So the flesh is not born again. You could never totally get rid of fear or, I'm talking about that would come back to you. You can get rid of it totally from yourself, but it'll try to come back to you because the devil will try to push different buttons. And impatience and all that stuff. Or my mind is totally renewed. I don't have to renew my mind anymore. That'll never happen.
Amen.
I remember we're taking a course with Brother Hagin. He said to me, said to us, he said, your mind will never be renewed. It's not automatic that your mind is renewed and your feelings and emotions are intact. You have to do something with that.
Amen.
Every morning when you get up, how many of you comb your hair? Okay, Some of you can't comb your hair, but at least you put your hand through it, right? Okay? So, okay. Now, watch this. When you get up in the morning, you take a comb or brush or something, and you comb your hair. You comb your hair, right? So you have to do that every day, sometimes twice, three times a day, some of you more often because you have more hair. Now, sometimes, this is just there's a spiritual message in there, that you have to, just as much as you have to comb your hair every morning, it's the same way you have to straighten out your mind every day. Amen. Every day. You get up in the morning, say, Lord, I'm going to think right today. I'm going to comb my mind. I'm going to be able to, if somebody says something, I'm not going to think about that. You have to address your mind. Amen. Everybody say, my mind is my mind. See, you are in control more than ever. Say, oh, I can't help it. I can't help talking like that. No, you can't help talking like that. And I'm running ahead a little bit, but the Bible talks about that. Don't be like the horse or the mule that has to put a bit in its mouth. And God has to, really work hard at you. We want to be rein trained. You know those horses that are just have the reins? They don't have no more bit. Little pull on this side, they go this way. Pull both on this stuff. You know? And so they know how to do stuff, and they're rein trained. So God wants to rein train every one of us. Rein train. That's in the Bible. So the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, this is not talking about the Holy Spirit and you fighting to try to find or to try to follow God's will. This spirit should be in a small s. The translators put a big S on there. If you read the context very carefully and study it, because I sat under people like Brother Hagin and men like that, and I see it now. I never did before. This lusting of the flesh with the spirit, this fight that's going on, this battle going on, has nothing. The Holy Spirit and you are not fighting. He's trying to lead you, of course, but your flesh is in the way of being led by God. Amen. So your flesh has to get weaker, but the spirit has to get stronger. So that you can hear God more and more in making decisions every day. Amen. How many of you are following? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, there's some of you who haven't yet, but okay. So we have to understand that. So you, there's a battle going on, and that's why we have to renew our minds if we're going to follow God. Now, I want you to see here in that point, we're going to come back. So there's a scrap going on the inside of you, within you. Romans chapter 12, 1 to 3. You ever fight with yourself? You say, I'm going to tell that person what I think about it, man. I tell you, when I see that person, I'm going to say this and that. And driving there, you got them on the ropes, and you're just, you know, and your flesh is acting up. I know none of you have never done that. And so you're thinking about that. Man, you got them beaten, everything else. Your flesh is going wild, eh? But when you see them, the Bible says the love of God constrains us. Amen. And you give into that love. And you say, oh, brother, I love you. Huh? So, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's your flesh. So your flesh has appetites. It wants to do its own thing. It gets lazy. It wants to overeat. It wants to, you know, whatever. So it doesn't want to go for a walk, Miss Anita. This body does not want to go for a walk. She says to me last night, I did everything, honey, today except go to the gym. So we're going to have a little talk again after a walk. I'm telling you something. So anyway. So by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. Everybody say, my body. Say, my body is my body. You know, our bodies were given to us so that we can function in this world and serve God. Amen. God didn't heal you so that you can go back to bingos. Right. Huh? And I said, well, why do you want to be healed? Well, I want to learn how to, I want to just swing again. I want to just go golfing again. That's fine, golfing, but God didn't heal you for that. He wants to heal you so that you can serve Him better.
Amen.
Say, yeah, but if I serve Him on the golf course, wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. So we do something with our bodies. Our bodies, they have urges, like they want to drink alcohol, or they want to smoke, or your body says, no, listen, body, you cannot do that. It wants to do a lot of things, right? So we have to be able to take that body and do something with it. Body, I tell you, I know you're tired. You're going to church. No, come on. Wash that up. Shave it up. You know, pamper it and clean it up. So that you present your body. So notice, you see here that ye, the word ye, everybody say ye.
Ye,
ye is me. So that ye is talking about your man on the inside of you. Okay, that ye there means your spirit man. Take control over your body. Are you listening?
Yes.
So your spirit man has to get stronger, so strong that it can listen and hear God and obey God and shut off the flesh and say, nope, I'm not going to do this. Here's what I'm going to do. Now, it takes time to do that. It takes some developing. And I'll show you something here. Now, it says that you present your body as a living sacrifice. How many people know that when you do the right thing, it's a worship unto God? Not just singing songs Sunday morning. There's more to worshiping God. It goes up all during the daytime. You're worshiping God with your mind and your body. It's a worship unto God on a regular basis. Now, there's times when we sing unto God, thank God, and all that. But there's more to that than we ever thought. Now, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Second thing that your body, your spirit has to do is learn to obey your own mind. If your mind is unrenewed, you will never walk in the things of God. You cannot follow God if your mind is not renewed. And Brother Hagin told us, he says, the greatest thing in every local church is the developing of the soul and the renewing of the mind. And that is to learn how to control your thinking. That's why people are worried, because they scatter around and they make changes and they have to change them over and over again because they're afraid. They're only making decisions based on situation, circumstances, and so they miss God because they're trying to avoid, whatever they think comes in their mind. And God's Word is our gauge. If we stick with the Word, we will not fail. Amen. So He says, be transformed by renewing of your mind. Everybody say, my mind is my mind. That's why if you get sick, you don't have to ask any. This is the highest type of faith in believing God for healing. You could do other things, but this is the best way. If you're sick, you don't have to go to anybody to lay hands on you, prophesy, go to a prophet, go to a healing service, go to a conference. You can do this yourself. You can heal your own body by believing God yourself. And we need to get to a level where I don't have to come up and lay hands on. Informed churches, and there's some churches that don't never have the laying on of hands because I don't know why they don't do it. It's just out of their range, I guess. But there's some churches, charismatic churches, they lay hands for everything. You want a cup of tea? Come on, let's lay hands on you. You're making the decision, let's lay hands on you. And charismatics will lay hands on everybody and everything that moves. And they think, this will solve everything. If you got a problem, let me lay hands on you. No, the problem is not laying hands on you. And besides, if I lay hands on you, you're probably not ready to receive anyway. You can only receive the laying on of hands to the capacity that your spirit can obtain that. Your spirit has to be strong enough to receive that once and for all, and that's it. We're coming up to a new level of faith and understanding and walking in the Spirit. You know? That we come to a church of maturity. We don't always lay hands on folks here. Not because we don't believe in it. It's because we're expecting you to follow what we teach you Sunday. Okay? I was told in my classes at Rhema, it says that laying on of hands in churches that are informed is really an exception, not the rule. An exception. So a lot of times we can just do a faith confession. And now, you lay hands on folks. What is the laying on of hands? Laying on of hands, a lot of times, now, this is a little bit advanced teaching for some of you. Laying on of hands, a lot of times, okay, it's a transfer, and it's a point of contact of your faith. Really, it's a point of contact of your faith. Laying on, because you can feel my hand. You can see my hand. You see that. It helps your faith. Oh, he's laying hands on me. Okay, something's happening right now. So that's the point of contact. And so some folks, you can lay hands on them, they're going to fall over in the power and still not get anything because their spirit is not strong enough to keep it. Soon as the devil comes and attacks their mind, they lost it. So your spirit has to get so strong that it just said, no, I know what that is. That's not coming in my mind. I don't even pay attention to that. I'm going to walk by my spirit. I'm walking by the word. I believe the word. I said it. I believe it. That's all. That settles it. Amen. And you put a smile. We're talking about walking in the spirit. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God and being led the right way. I'm not trying to take away something from anybody. The Lord told me this is how I'm supposed to pastor. Amen. In this church. We want to develop people. We want to make people grow in spirit. Not to depend on the flashy pastor. He has all the anointing. No, you got just as much anointing. In fact, you got more anointing for your own life than I do for you. Amen. So now there are certain things. We have to respect the office of the pastor. And I try to get people to respect the office of pastor. Not just me. Not just for my sake. But for the sake of what God wants to do. When you see me, I'm not just Roma to you. I'm more than Roma. Standing right here right now, I'm standing in my office. I don't never call my doctor by the first name. I call him Dr. So-and-so. Okay? My mother-in-law hugged me last night. She says, oh, you're more than my son-in-law. You're a doctor, Roma. I said, I'm not that kind of doctor. But anyway, that was just fun. But see, what I'm trying to do is trying to give people to respect the office. Because if you respect the office, that anointing is going to work for you. But if you just see Roma, then that's all you're going to get. That's what I'm trying to, that's my message right there. That has nothing to do with, oh, just call me Dr. Roma now. No, it has nothing to do with that. We want people to respect the office that God puts and to respect one another and love each other. Amen? That's what we want to do. Praise God. Let's go ahead and give that a clap. Woo! See, this is what you do for men, but you don't do that for God. Let's give God a hand clap. Woo! Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you very much. You don't do that for God. The Bible teaches us we lift hands to God. It's more of a humbling experience to lift your hands to God. Lord, I thank you. Thank you. And to do this. You bring God to, when you do this, you bring God to your level. He's just common. Well, this is another story. Anyway. Okay, so, Kelly, don't fall asleep back there. Okay. That you may prove. No. When you got your mind renewed, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're talking about following, hearing God. If God spoke to you, like Brother Hagin used to say, he said some people, if the Holy Spirit spoke to them, they wouldn't recognize the Holy Spirit if you walked in the room with a red cowboy hat on, and spurs on. So the Holy Spirit is talking to us constantly. But a lot of us can't hear. So God, where are you? Where are you? And he's talking on the inside. Where are you, God? Did you hear my God? What does God say to me? What does God want me to do? Can you pray for me? Lay your hands on me right now to pray for me that God will lead me and make me quit and make me do this. God's never going to make you do anything. You are going to have to take responsibility yourself. A lot of times we got trouble, like, you know, a lot of us, we get into the flesh, right? Anybody ever get into the flesh? I know Pastor Ken does. Once in a while he does. I let him. No, we you know, we fellowship in the flesh because we hang around, we're chums. And so you could not be following God if you don't do certain things. So there's basic things you can do to follow God, right? There's some basic things we can do. So we could put those, have those, and you know, underline these things so we can do that. We need to read the Word. You know what Peter says, 1 Peter says? He talked about his experience. How many of you like to listen to people who had spiritual experience? I went to heaven, I saw seven angels, and I heard a voice come out and told me to do this, go to Shoppers Drug Mart, and you know, whatever. You know, we want these kind of things, right? Oh, that's wonderful. An angel told me to go to Shoppers Drug Mart, and you know, just stand there for several hours. Huh? And eat ice cream. Okay, so, but the Holy Spirit's not going to talk to you out loud. You know, there's so many people looking for a voice. They're looking for a cloud come in the room. They're looking for a prophet come by and a special service. Okay, where's John? I got a special word from you from God. I come from the Thunder Bay. Johnny, where are you? Oh, here he is. Okay, John, come here. I got a special word. See, this is how spectacular people want it. They want spectacular. God's speaking to me now. And so they want that. But God says, I want to talk to everybody. Jeremiah 31 says that everybody is not going to ask someone else about their business about God. He said, in that day, in the new covenant, Jeremiah prophesied that many years ago. He said, I'm going to put my spirit inside of them. I'm going to put my laws on the inside of them under this new covenant. He's speaking, Jeremiah was speaking, in Jeremiah 31. He said, everybody is going to know me personally. Over in Hebrews 3, he says, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. There's some people that harden their heart, and they don't hear God. And so renewing of the mind. Let's go back to Proverbs 20:27. We got about 6 minutes left. Thank you, Lord, for Proverbs 20:27. So, you know, here's what I learned in Rhema. I learned to be redundant. I learned to be so redundant. One of our teachers, Doug Jones, he's a very famous teacher, been there for many, many years. He left Brother Hagin one time, went on his own, fall flat on his face. Brother Hagin tried to tell him, don't go, because the Lord told him not to go. He went out on his own, fell flat on his face, and he came back. Brother Hagin told him, I couldn't do the things I was called to do because you were gone. How many people know if he left me today, I couldn't do what I'm supposed to do without him here? See, you know, Pastor Steve, if Pastor Steve left right now, I couldn't do what I'm supposed to do without Pastor Steve. And I couldn't do what you guys are doing without you. I could not work without you. I need you. So I'm called to do certain things. You're called to do certain things. We'll work together. We're a team. There's no I in team. There's a T in team. The spirit of man. Everybody say the spirit of man.
Spirit of man.
Now, this you can see this in other expressions in the Bible. The spirit of man is where? It's on the inside. Your spirit, we're going to get to this in a moment. Your spirit is not your soul. And your soul is not your spirit. In fact, your spirit is not even saved yet. James says, 1:21, your spirit is in the process of being saved, and that's why it makes wrong decisions. Our soul is not saved. We have to continually wash our mind with the renewing of the mind of the Word of God, with the Word of God. When we see the Word, light comes in, and we see it brightly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So that's what they say back then. You know, they don't have any flashlights back then. They don't have any phones, cell phones. A candle lightens everything up. So the Holy Spirit said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So your spirit man is the inward man, the the innermost person in there. We are made up of three parts, right? Let me just review that for a second, and we're going to close up. But I do have one important announcement to make about this year. It's probably not that going to be that exciting for you, but for me, it's exciting. We do have leadership tonight. How many of you know we have leadership? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So if you don't know, say, oh, me. Okay. I have a number of things. Okay, so the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all inward parts of the belly. So if God is leading us, God wants to lead us, he's going to do it from the inside. Amen. God will lead you from the inside. There's so many people asking somebody else, can you confirm that for me? No, let the Holy Spirit confirm things for you. Learn, develop. Don't be afraid. What if I make a mistake? Well, you make a mistake, so you die. Okay, you will see, go heaven. No. So according to Scripture, our scriptural text, God will enlighten, guide you by our inward nature. That inward nature is the recreated born-again spirit. So Doug Jones said this. He said, Brother Hagin cured me of redundancy. He said, why does Brother Hagin say the same thing over and over and over and over again? We have to teach, we have to see things over and over again. Just when we see something light, it'll become brighter and brighter as we begin to focus on the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to say, you guys are so dumb, you're not intelligent. No, this has nothing to do with it. We have to see the principle here, but I want to say this again here. So, God's going to lead you by your spirit on the inside. He's going to lead you on the inside. Okay, let me see. Now, so many people are looking for leading, God's leading from another method other than the way God designed it. So you need to understand, are you being led the way God wants, said that you should be led, or are you doing it because everybody else is doing it this way? Because that's the way you learn, by tradition. God expects you to use your mind, but not to totally depend on it. We saw the scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Kelly. Proverbs 3, verse 5. I know this is a lot of stuff here. I don't want to, you only have about 40 minutes, they say, span of your seat starts to get hurt. Okay. Trust in the Lord. We were talking about this now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So he's not talking about your feelings. A lot of people say, well, I don't feel like, It has nothing to do with feelings. So stop for a moment. When you say, I don't feel like it, are you talking about your spirit, man? Or are you talking about your flesh or your mind? Like, what is it? So we want to be led. So we got to train ourselves to confront our own way. Trust in the Lord with all our heart, all our head. He expects us to be led by our heart. So let me just close this because I have to finish closing this off here because I know I just got a sense I have to stop there for sure. Now, Titus 3:14 says this, our people must learn to do good by meeting urgent needs of others, then they will not be unproductive. That's the New Living Translation of Titus 3:14. So we all need to conduct ourselves properly in the house of God, working together. We need to learn how to work together, cooperate together. Yeah. How does certain people work? We have to learn how they work together. That's why we've done last year. We did personality stuff when working together. You work close to someone. You don't get offended because someone acts a certain way because hey, that guy, that's the way this person is hooked up together. Right? You don't automatically know each other the moment you got married. And, as far as I know, that you guys are the only ones that I know that just really flow together. So good. So we need to learn how to train ourselves. Notice the scripture over here. I want to show you something. God's going to lead us. And one of the greatest ways God leads us is through his love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is going to lead you into things of love. Love never hurts people. And it's amazing the love of God in us. We kind of, sometimes we don't realize He's talking to us by His love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, I'm going to share the scripture and said a couple of things, we're going to close. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Oh, 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians. And, oh, I'm sorry. What am I doing here? Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians. It's time to quit. The anointing has lifted, ladies and gentlemen. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. Okay. Now watch this. The Lord make you increase and abound in love toward one another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. Now I want to mention one thing about, we're starting a new season here at Faith City Church. And we're going to do some jobs together, some projects. We're going to be doing work in our community here. We're going to reach out to the community. We have an open house so that the people can come and see the school. A lot of people around here were actually, maybe some of the people were, like there's a guy here, he said, I was a principal at this school. Lives right across the street here. And so people want to come and see the church. So we're going to do other projects working together. And it says here, the Lord make you increase in abundant love. We need to learn how to love one another. Amen? Amen. We need to learn how to love. And I know that I'm learning to love my wife more and more in different areas and giving her first place and so forth and learning to yield more. And I found that over the years, the best thing for me is to yield to my wife. And not fight. Ernie, you got to learn that. All those bruises you got. So God wants us to grow. He wants us to love one another. So when we're being led by God this year, remember to be led by love. When you're doing something, just yield to the love of God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How will God lead you? By your feelings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you today that this message is very practical and things that we need to remind ourselves, although we've heard it, we've known these scriptures, but we know that you're teaching us and you're guiding us and you're creating us with more capacity. Love is patient. Love is kind. And love puts up with things that it wouldn't put up in naturally speaking. The love of God in us puts up with stuff that we can't put up with ourselves emotionally. But we thank you, Lord, that this love never fails. Love is the way to victory. Thank you for that love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that this love is growing. You said that the love of the brethren is growing. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says the love of God, the brethren, is growing towards each other. And so we're believing for a greater capacity to love one another, serve, to oversee and to overlook differences and to overlook faults, weaknesses, even in ourselves. Lord, oh, how you put up with us. That same love is in us. The same love, the love of God, has been shed abroad in our hearts. So we're going to be kind. And we're going to be patient. Thank you. Thank you. With every eye closed, every head bowed, give you an opportunity for you in here. If you're here today and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or you need to come back to Jesus Christ and come back to your Savior, to follow Him. If you're in this house right now and you say, Pastor, I want to come back to God. I need to get born again. Is there someone right here right now? I say, Pastor, can you pray for me? I want to be following God. I want His plan. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I want to just give you a chance to come to Jesus right now. If you're here, say, Pastor, please pray for me. Lift that hand up way up high. There you go. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You all saved? If you're saved, lift your hands up towards heaven right now and say, thank you, Lord. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm Spirit-led. I'm not led by emotions. I'm not led by my body. I don't let my body dictate what I do, where I go, what I say. I don't just think it and say everything I want to say. I wait for the Spirit, and I let Him lead me and direct my mouth. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. And right now, I rededicate, I recommit my whole spirit, my body, my mind in your care. In Jesus' name, I expect to be led today. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and praise Him and thank God. Father, we praise You. We thank You, for You are good and Your mercy endures forever and ever. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Master. In Jesus' name, amen. As you leave, give somebody a good hug, a good handshake. Be blessed.